excitement. Your voice is it is so bloody powerful. Have you always had a voice like that from when you were a kid? Because it is...
No, funnily enough. I mean, my dad had a great voice. My dad was a singer in our family band with my uncles and my
grandfather. What were they called?
The Marenas. Used to play at the Meads Ballroom many years ago. And so I inherited my pipes off of him. But like, it's like a muscle, like anything else. You have to work it. So the first couple of years I was playing, I started as a drummer. And then cheekily sold my drum kit without telling the rest of the band to buy a computer. Commodore 64, I think it was. Turned up to rehearsal with no drum kit, hoping that they'd forgive me. And as it turns out, they'd got another drummer in because they thought I was rubbish on drums. And I was like, what am I going to do? And they said, nobody else wants to sing, so you've got the singing duty. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll do that. Which I went from transporting drums and needing lifts to just turning up with a little silver case with a microphone in it. And then I just screamed for like 2 years, basically, to the backing of a metal band. And that kind of went on as my music tastes grew and as my library grew. I was able to sing more songs and then figure out how to work the voice and the breath. So I had to work at it. I had to work at it for a few years until I got to the point where I felt like I was confident enough to be confident, if that makes sense.
Because you're very animated when you're on stage. It's not you just don't just stand there with the guitar. You're leaping about, whether you're playing the drums or you're playing the keyboards or the bass. Tell us about the mask.
It comes back to the idea of every song has its own story in its own place. I suppose the inner conflict, I move about a lot because there's an inner conflict between all these different instruments and the different hats I put on when I play a different instrument, because they all require a different feel or a different persona or a different approach, understanding. My limbs are oft ready to do different things. I feel like I'm pulling myself apart on stage and I can't stop moving, which is great, I suppose. I enjoy that and it gives it a visual aspect. But I've totally forgotten the question you just asked. Sorry.
It's the mask.
The mask.
The hood that you pull on.
Oh, that's
that one.
The Rorschach mask from Watchmen.
Yes.
They kind of have their place. And I use that one on Wires because Wires is a kind of political song about the responsibility of understanding what happens when you press certain buttons or when we take things we take for granted that we have and we use and we don't even stop to think or consider the costs of those things. And the point of the song is that all of those things lead to other things that have costs, whether you know it or not, whether you're aware of it or not. Pressing that button has an action, and as an action has a reaction. And that's what the song was about. So the mask kind of came around. My son bought it for me as a Christmas present years back because he knew I liked the film. And the character is, I like Rorschach as a character because he has that kind of no beef, that's the truth, that there's right and there's wrong, that's it, very black and white. White hood with the kind of like black eye sort
ink
of things,
blots, or
ink blots on it. But the mouthpiece is very clever because whenever I breathe, the hotter my breath, the more it moves. So it looks like the facial mask itself is actually moving and recreating a different mask when I'm performing again, which is wonderful because the mask is animated.
Yeah.
And I have other masks that I was tempted to use on various bits of Bob's, and they will appear at some point in time during other shows and for other songs. It's just another element, you know. And that's when you're one person up there. I'm always very conscious of the fact that there isn't a band up there; it's just one person. So I always try and overdo. Do as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And like you say, I can't help it. It's like a handsome a pants. I've got to move about. And my little setup allows me to jump on different instruments. And I always love that about playing music, is just being able to play instruments, you know, and learning new instruments is a passion. So.
And you're writing, as you said, you're continually writing. Going to have a little bit of a break over Christmas, which is always nice. I was saying to you, so we're both the same again. I'm not doing New Year's Eve, but if something comes in, I'll do that.
£5,000 to come and play New Year's Eve, I'm there. Yeah,
exactly.
I won't, no qualms, but failing that, I'm going to be doing something else.
Yeah, do something.
Probably nothing.
Yeah.
But I find it's interesting because over this time, I play a lot less over the Christmas and New Year's time. Into January, which is great because it gives me, not that I don't enjoy playing, I do, but it gives me time to focus on the writing and that's the coffee shop moments when you go somewhere for a morning, sit there and write lyrics or work on the structure of songs, you know, and that's massively important because it just takes time. And so December, January is kind of time for me to sort of sit down and start scripting new songs, ideas, contacting people and scaring them with freaky ideas and going, look, you reckon we could fit in a round the world trip in a hot air balloon whilst playing over China or something next year? I don't know, but we'll figure it out. So whatever, we get our crazy ideas at that particular moment in time.
What is the dream? If you had a dream of where this is going to lead to, what is for you the perfect outcome for your music?
I don't know. Okay, no, I do know. That's not true. It's always been to sort of be a successful, financially comfortable, those things, which I guess are everybody's dreams when they're doing whatever job you're doing.
Yeah. Not harder when you're a musician or you're self-employed.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Just ever so slightly,
yeah. It's just, you know. So that's still very important to be able to do that. I mean, I love the art in general and the art world. I like all aspects of it. So to take this album and this musical performance and to put it all together with different forms of art and create a contemporary piece that I could perhaps feature myself as the living piece of art in somewhere like the Tate Modern or one of the New York galleries and be the living, breathing piece of art for a period of time whilst playing and recording this album, the 38, would be the next dream. So I'd like to do that, is try and perform the 38 live and have it recorded, and that recording to be the piece of art that then goes on to be what it is, and to have the chance to do that in a contemporary art environment would be a wonderful dream. Failing that, you know, I've got all the, you know, I'd love to have a Ferrari and a 28,000 bedroomed house and all that stuff like everybody else.
Yep.
That's kind of my sort of long-term dream. I kind of try and keep it on a yearly basis. So for the next album, I would love for it to be a contemporary piece of art that I could perform and record and produce in a live gallery like the Tate. That would be my dream for this album.
I keep looking out the corner of my peripheral vision.
There's always a Jeffrey in your peripheral vision.
There is always a Martin.
Jeff. There's a Jeff over there. Jeff Vader.
Don't. It's not fair. The reason is it's because it's Martin Jeffries, and for years I just couldn't get used to your name being Martin. I got it stuck in my head as being Jeff. And in fact, for the last 6 or 7 months, I've been calling you Martin.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm disappointed about. I think Jeff works, but Jeff Vader. We've changed Martin's name to Jeff Vader. He's the brother of the guy who created the Death Star. Jeff Vader. Yeah, Jeff Vader.
Now we're going to play another song which is called The Chauffeur.
Three.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking at you for. Is he putting me right off?
That's
now.
That's right. Look at him. Sorry, he can answer this one. If
you want to get to the microphone, that's always helpful.
That's technical love. Yeah, point to the thing.
That's just the hanging wire.
The shiny object that's down there. That's the one. There you
that
go.
That one was just a hanging wire with no wire.
Right?
That's lovely. Thank you. Hello, Martin.
Hello.
Now tell us about The Chauffeur.
The Chauffeur is a track that we've included here because Steve Mortimer Blackchapel has remixed this track. And the version he's remixed was put out by a band called The Screens. And you know The Screens, Colin Wade, big friend of this show I know, who does a lot of work for Brentwood Mind.
Yes.
And they put together this single to raise awareness and funds for that cause. And they asked me about getting a remix done, so I obviously turned to Steve, and this basically is a result. This is an edit of the remix that he then came up with, so this is quite short, but it's a brilliant, I mean, it's not one of Duran Duran's most well-known tracks, but it's a really good track, and I think Steve's done a great job with this.
It's also something Martin does in his spare time, chauffeuring, so he can't kind of do that.
You've just ruined that link completely into the song.
You see, this is what I
so
have to put
rude.
Up with.
So
this
rude.
Very terrible.
Get somebody else to manage them. Next year, 2017. It's just,
That's just an extra percentage point going on the bill.
21%.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
Nothing.
Oh, it's gone up.
Drams, we try to have a very broad collection of artists, not just necessarily musicians, sometimes painters, poets, and so on and so forth. So come down and enjoy it.
I thought you were going to say decorators then, did you?
Painters, plasterers, plumbers, and electricians. I almost did.
Never mind.
You can find me at www.paolomorena. I'll spell that for you, paolomorena.com. If you go to the website, you'll find all the links on there as well. And there are loads of tracks, the old and current, that you can find on my SoundCloud as well. And there are links to that channel too via my website. So
you're everywhere. If you put your name in, there's so much stuff. It's everywhere.
Yep.
Spread. It's Martin, isn't it? Is
it is. Yeah,
I called him Martin. Do you hear that? That's really cockney. Martin. All right, Martin.
He calls me Mark.
Mark. All right, Mark.
Well, that's probably why then. I've picked up a cockney accent that sounded fine earlier this morning.
It?
Horrible.
Lazy of me.
I'm going to say my favourite
Jeff.
Joke. I'm going to say
sorry, come into the
Jeff.
Microphone. What, is it? Go on.
What's a cockney's favourite shampoo?
Don't know.
Pantene.
See the tumbleweed
Pantene.
Rolling
oh,
across
pound
the studio.
Ten.
Oh god.
I don't get that.
No, I don't. But don't worry.
Pantene.
There's tumbleweed.
What's
rolling
that mean?
Across the
there are people out there laughing.
It's Pantene.
It's a shame it's not a
two-way
thing, radio.
What?
Because there ain't no one laughing in here.
I don't understand what that was. What was the joke? I don't understand.
No, don't know. You can't ask him to explain it. That's even
is it
worse.
Rude?
No.
Is it a pound 10 pence? I don't know what you. I don't know what
it's,
you mean.
It's a cockney thing, obviously.
Pound
you don't
ten.
Pantene and Pantene the shampoo. Pantene.
Pantene.
Yeah, no, don't. I don't know.
Let's move on.
That really. You really
Michelle leans across and pulls the slider down slowly.
Suffice to say, my career as a comedian is not going to take off after
yeah,
this.
Yeah, don't get into any instructions
stick,
tomorrow.
Stick
will
to
you?
The management. Stick to the management.
Is he doing the comparing? Hello, my name's Martin. No, it's not.
Jeff. I've seen you before. You're Jeff Vader.
Now, we're going to end on a song. This is Dance, David Dance. This is the song that you wrote. Was it January or December last year?
November last year, actually. Yeah. And then we had the Electric Jam last year, and I played it as a homage. Mm. Homage. Wrote the song basically using lots of different David Bowie titles to tell the story that I wanted to tell, because there's so many Bowie songs. And because I wanted to write that Bowie kind of Ziggy Stardust style tune with the production, the guitars, all those sounds in there that I love so much. And wrote it, and then come January, he passed away.
Mm.
Then it turned into a tribute, and then everybody, you've written a tribute. And actually, no, I wrote it before he died. I was hoping to meet up with the guy and do an album. That was one of my bucket list things. Mm. Now that'll have to be on a spiritual level, I guess, or we'll figure that one out. But I put this tune together as a homage originally. It's become a tribute. It's made up of loads of Bowie references. So see if you can find them all. I think there's 15. In fact, I know there's 15 in there.
Yeah.
And done in the Bowie style. Currently, my latest single and being played by you fantastic people at Phoenix. And
all over the place.
And other radio stations that we won't mention.
Although I will forgive you, this morning when have to say, when he put up the picture Sabre's going to be on Phoenix FM, you were standing in front of the doors at the BBC.
That wasn't me
who put
that picture up.
I was impressed.
Well, I was.
I do that quite a bit, just stand out.
No, next time I'll Photoshop the sign out and put Phoenix in there, and everybody will think that that's where you guys are at.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Okay, no worries. Leave it to me.
Thank you very much. Lovely, lovely doors as well they had there. Very nice doors.
Yeah, no, they're not there. They're here, Michelle. We've got to get into the habit of thinking.
That's right.
We're taking over the BBC building.
Thank you. Here is. Paolo with Dance David
thanks,
Dance.
Thanks very much, my love. Thank you. And to all the listeners as well, appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Dance for me, David. This could be our last chance. So dance.